The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about when his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found with child through the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her husband, since he was a righteous man, yet unwilling to expose her to shame, decided to divorce her quietly. Such was his intention when, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, into your home, for it is through the Holy Spirit that this child has been conceived in her. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took his wife into his home. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Again, we hear today in the scriptures that word fulfillment, do we not? And that's been kind of following us along in the Advent season, as I mentioned several weeks ago at the beginning of Advent. That is one of the themes, the major themes of the Advent season and St. Matthew's Gospel. He's concerned, being of Jewish origin and writing primarily the congregation that first heard the Gospel of St. Matthew, probably around the mid-60 AD time, we're pretty sure, just around the time that near Paul and Peter were martyred. St. Matthew is writing to a congregation that is, in many cases, probably not exclusively, but Jewish converts to the faith. And so he's making connections for them. And in a real sense, he's making connections for us, even though at times we don't understand the whole historical and spiritual context of all this stuff. So again, we hear in the first reading the very same thing that St. Matthew quotes. He says, "And this took place to fulfill what the prophet had said, a virgin shall conceive and give birth to a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel." So Matthew's making that connection for the people and for us. So that word fulfillment, I want to just focus on that for a few minutes. Fulfillment, what does that mean to us? I mean, it means a lot different to modern ears. Fulfillment, I think, has this idea, and we'll talk about this more in a minute, of sort of personal fulfillment. We kind of emphasize that in our modern culture. But it's not exactly what St. Matthew necessarily wants us to see, although there's an aspect of that. But what we have to first understand is sort of the modern context that helps us, in contrast, understand the biblical context that St. Matthew wants us to see and the Holy Spirit wants us to see. So our modern concept of time, you know, fulfillment, you know, the biblical concept of fulfillment, one of the things is that time is moving for a purpose and towards an end. Now, that's not shared by all, whether ancient philosophies or even modern philosophies. Most ancient philosophies saw time as a cyclical thing and things just repeated. And that was picked up in the 19th century by philosophers like Friedrich Nietzsche. Probably you've heard of him, I've mentioned it before. You know, Nietzsche had this very bizarre notion of things. Yet he is one of the, interestingly enough, respected philosophers, especially amongst agnostics and secularists, because Nietzsche rejected God and amongst a number of things. But he had picked up this ancient concept of time, this sort of pagan concept of time. And he talked about time as the future and time, the eternal return of the same. And you see that especially in the sort of the negative philosophies of modern time, that life is meaningless, purposeless, you know, there's no hope, there all there is what we see here and now. That we inherit from the most ancient, from the pagans, but also, and they used to use the term fate, right? Fate, that everything has been decided. So we're just going through the motions. And Nietzsche and others picked up on this because they had a very negative view of history, and part of that was colored by many number of things. The 19th century and all the difficulties, the historical difficulties, then the First World War came, and so on and so on. And people, a lot of philosophers, adopted a very depressing and negative view of history and purpose. And they had these great hopes at the end of the 19th century, along with the period of industrialization and cultural change, that things were getting better. And then, boom, all kinds of disasters hit them. In the late 19th century, Europe erupted in all kinds of violence and uprisings. And then the First World War hit. And it was terrible, a terrible war. And so many of these philosophers, as a result of this, lost heart, and they started to believe that everything was meaningless. And we see that with, in many ways, Nietzsche, and we see that with all kinds of other philosophers, Jean-Paul Sartre, Albert Camus, all these people. Maybe some of you have studied them in university. So this is the modern view of fulfillment in history. Really, there is none. We're just going through the motions. We're just another cog in the wheel, etc., etc. And yet, in contrast, the biblical notion of fulfillment in time is one that is, we're going somewhere. There is a purpose to time and history. There is a fulfillment, there's that word again, to all things. And so that's the biblical notion. And that's really difficult for modern Christians, I think, because we have this cultural notion, this negative notion of history and time. And yet, in contrast, we're asked to have faith and believe in the reality that time and history is moving along to a purpose. So, when we think of fulfillment, what does that mean to you? I would guess that for many people, fulfillment means something like my dreams. I want my dreams fulfilled. I want my desires fulfilled. I want my bucket list fulfilled. Things like that. And then the Lord lays before us today in Scripture, St. Joseph. Not so much focus on Mary, but for Matthew, Joseph is one of the keys. He doesn't ignore Mary, but he focuses on Joseph because he's the son of David. You know, he's that descendant of the house of David. And Matthew goes out of his way to point out Joseph is a righteous man. What does that mean, righteous man? Notice it's mentioned in the gospel today. He finds that his wife to be his betrothed. In Jewish law, they were already husband and wife. They just hadn't come to live together. Once you were engaged, you were married. That was Jewish law. And so he finds out in this engagement period that Mary, his betrothed, is with child. And it says, because he was a righteous man, he was going to divorce her quietly. See, he was righteous because in this sense, in this moment of the gospel, he is got this sense that I can't do this. I can't fulfill this plan, this marriage role and everything, because my wife is, you know, so to speak, tainted. You know, she has broken the law. And so he's thinking, I'll do what is right. In his Jewish mind, in terms of the law, that would have been what would normally have happened. There would have been a divorce. Sometimes the woman would be stoned to death. That was the law as well. But he's not going to subject her to that. And so he's just going to do the right thing. And then the Lord comes in and says, oh, hold on, Joseph. Don't go through this. And the Holy Spirit begins to inspire him. One of the interesting things about Scripture is in the Gospels where Joseph is mentioned, Joseph doesn't say one word. There is not a single word recorded by St. Joseph, unlike Mary. She didn't have many words, but there's a few. St. Joseph, not a word. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? I think that's saying something to us. It's saying something to us. It's presenting this reality again that goes against our modern understanding, you know, that we got to be the center of attention. I got to have my plans and my dreams fulfilled. That's the meaning of life for many people in our culture. Having my dreams and my plans fulfilled. And the picture of Scripture presents something entirely different. It's God's plans that need to be fulfilled. And when Joseph, who is, again, a righteous man, a good man, he's going to do the right thing in his mind, what happens? God says, no, Joseph, this is what I want you to do. And what does it say? Joseph did as the Lord told him. Okay? Joseph did as the Lord told him. And again, This was a very messy situation. Again, we can imagine both Mary and Joseph had simple plans for their lives. They thought fulfillment was going to be marriage and children, a big family, all that kind of stuff. And things changed in a moment. But they were both obedient. That takes a lot of humility. It takes a lot of humility to obey. The word obedience comes from the Latin ob audire, which means to listen or listen well. Now, that's very interesting, the Latin meaning of obedience, to listen. See, if we're not listening, as Joseph was and Mary was, we'll never be obedient. We're never listening. You know, we have to ask ourselves the question today as we're moving relentlessly towards Christmas and the fulfillment of the Advent season. Do I even want to listen to what the Lord has to say? That's an important question that we need to ask ourselves. Because if not, we'll never learn to obey. We'll never learn to obey. Are we praying? Again, that's another theme that I've been wanting to talk about and have been talking about during the Advent season. Have we been praying? If we're not, we're never going to be obedient. We're never going to be able to hear what the Lord is asking. Joseph was able to hear because he was a man of prayer. He was listening to the Lord. And when the Lord told him to do something that was contrary to his natural intuitions and his plans, he did it. It came to him not sort of naturally, but it came because he was disciplined in prayer. He was disciplined in listening to the Lord, probably in many small ways like Mary. And so when the big moment came, it wasn't all that difficult because he had been obeying the Lord all his life and trying to do God's will. And I think that really puts a whole new light for us on the scriptures today and as we prepare for the Christmas season. So what does it mean that Joseph was obedient? What does it mean? Again, it meant that he was humble. It meant that he was a man of prayer. It also meant that he trusted God. And I think that's really important for us to understand. He trusted God in the small things and in the big things. And this is the kind of relationship that, as believers, we're called to have with the Lord. To trust him in the small things and to trust him in the big things as well. And that's only going to happen when we're willing to get out of the way. That's what Joseph did. He had his plans. They weren't bad ideas, bad plans. But when God spoke and said, no, Joseph, this is what I want you to do, he did it. Right? Because paramount in his mind was not his own personal fulfillment. It was fulfilling the word of the Lord, doing what God asked him to do, being obedient servant of the Lord. I want to share with you just real briefly a little story from my life. It was when I was in seminary. I don't know if I've maybe told a few people, but I left the seminary for a couple years. And so I just finished my period of time that we study philosophy and all those kind of things. And I was in my first year of theology. And much like Lee Kenischnecht is in his first year of theology this year. So as I was going on in that summer that followed, I was in a parish. I was assigned to a parish. And the pastor there, unbeknownst to me, had a number of issues. And one of them was he wasn't honest with me and a lot of things. And I come to find out he wasn't honest with a lot of people. I didn't know this. So I was very upfront with him, very forthright, and et cetera, et cetera. So on the very last day of my summer experience, literally the last day, he sat me down and he said, well, I didn't like when you did this, and I didn't like this, and I didn't like this. And he went through this litany of things that he didn't like, of things. A lot of them were very small things. And I was kind of shocked, to be honest with you. And I asked him, I said, well, Father, why didn't you tell me these things when they happened? You know, they were very simple things sometimes. Like, I remember one of the things he said, well, you brought the young people into the living room and watched a movie with them. I didn't like that. So, well, why didn't you tell me? I wouldn't have done it. Well, and then he confessed. He said, well, I'm not very good at confrontation. And I was tempted to say, oh, duh, really? You know? Anyways, I just chalked it up. I just said, well, live and learn. You know? And I left that day. Well, about a week later, the rector of the seminary called me and asked me if I would come in. I said, sure, no problem. Came in, and he started to say to me the things that this priest had said to me. Not only that, he said some other more serious things that this priest had accused me of, which were not true. But again, had never had the guts to confront me about. So Father Rector and I talked a long time. And it was interesting, the day before I went to see the Father Rector, I was just praying and saying, okay, Lord, I don't know what this is all about. And I kept hearing this word, obedience, as I was praying. I just kept hearing this word, obedience. And I thought, okay, I get the message, Lord. You want me to obey no matter what. So anyways, the next day, when I went to see the Father Rector, we talked for a long time. I explained the situation, la, 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 la. In the end, I said to him, look, I've shared my two cents. I've given you my perspective on this. I think this man has been unjust to me. But I will do whatever you ask, Father. And he said, I think it would be good for you to take some time off. And I said, all right, Father. So that's that 2 years away I was at. Now, when I left that room, I was pretty angry and upset because it was clearly in my mind, and actually found out later, many others, an unjust situation. However, I just thought, well, you know, I said I would obey the Lord, and I'm going to do it. Well, what's interesting as I look back on those 2 years, and eventually came back to the seminary, I saw how the Lord worked in those 2 years and did some really amazing things in me and through me in the situations and circumstances where I found myself in those 2 years. And you know, when I finished up that 2 years and was taken back into the seminary, accepted back into the seminary program, I remember praying and saying to myself, you know what? If I had been in the seminary these 2 years, it would have been wasted time. I'm so grateful. I wasn't grateful for the injustice. I wasn't grateful for the circumstances. But I was grateful because I was willing to obey. And because of that, God produced great fruit in my life. You know, and that's like Joseph, I think, in a lot of ways. Not claim to be like St. Joseph. Got a long way to go. But I think, like St. Joseph, you know, he found himself in a messy situation. And I'm sure he prayed and prayed and prayed when Mary told him that she was pregnant. And again, we know that the Lord spoke to him and gave him direction, and he obeyed. And I think for all of us, we all find ourselves in those kind of situations. Maybe not as big and dramatic, but maybe small little things every day and where the Lord is obedient. I can't think of anything more that would help us prepare for the Christmas feast than if this week we really listen and if we really obey. I think that really bring the Advent season for many of us to a beautiful closure. So let's pray. Let's ask today St. Joseph, the just and righteous man, who was obedient, humble and obedient to the Lord. Let's ask him to pray for all of us, that we too this week, in a very special way, would be obedient and humble and really listen to the Lord and then do it. God bless you.